Welcome to the first episode of The Clinicast. This podcast is designed to showcase the stories of allied health business owners. Today we are joined by an absolute legend of the profession, Adnan Ali. Adnan is the director of Accelerate Physiotherapy and is also the Allied Health Clinic's 2023 Physiotherapist of the Year. Adnan is also the national chair for the APA Musculoskeletal Group, as well as a PhD candidate. On this episode, we discuss the beginnings of Accelerate Physiotherapy, navigating expansion through COVID, and the future trends of physiotherapy business.
I'd love to start, I think, with Accelerate in business, because I think you as a person have so many facets you could dive down in your career. We could go down the PhD, we could go down your networking in the APA and the work that you do there. I'm sure there's stuff I don't even know about. But in my capacity of knowing you as Accelerate, I've always been a fan of Accelerate. I'm a fan of the marketing. I'm a fan of the reels. Everyone I know who works there, I hold in like a high regard. So the clinic to me is quite elevated. So I'd love to go down like your journey about where you started as a physio and how you got into Accelerate and go, why a clinic business?
Yeah, I guess, you know, physio and me go a long way back. It's kind of the family business. My mum owns a physio clinic. My brother owns a physio clinic.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I work in a physio clinic. So yeah, it's the family business. So it's something that I've always wanted to do and been passionate about. But also, when I first started off, it's bizarre how I got a job. I think you've spoken to my mate, Simon, and he initially, when we were graduating, he's like, oh, I'm going to work in the mines. And, you know, I came to Canberra, I knew nobody, I had no ties to the area. I was in Melbourne before that. Sort of then went, oh yeah, I'll come, that sounds all right. And it was, I think, in Yeppoon or something like that. And the more had a bit of trouble because being international student, had a bit of delay with my visa and all that. And then when I was getting to the pointy end of the registration to then get visa, one of my friends rings me up. She's like, oh, what are you doing? I was working at the hospital at the time as a wardsman. I'm like, oh, I'm just at work, you know. She's like, oh, I've just got a job offer, which I've knocked back. I'm like, oh, yeah, righto. She's like, are you keen? I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries. Put me in touch, give me my number, no dramas. And literally hung up. I reckon 2 minutes later, I get this call from David Berg from Move Happy. Passed away, but he was a great first mentor. An amazing physio, an amazing person. And he just went, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm at work. What time do you finish? 2 o'clock. He's like, righto, meet me at Deakin at 2:30. I'm like,
sure.
Okay. That's what we're doing. And then, I think he jumped up on the bed and he's like, oh, assess my knee. And I'm like,
okay.
Give his knee a bit of a wiggle and a jiggle. And he's like, yep. You'll do.
Were you shaking?
Yeah.
I would be freaked out. Yeah.
But then he ripped his shirt off and he's like, oh, I'll try this on. I'm like, what? And he's Jack, right? He's like the Hulk. And put it on. He's like, oh, it fits you, a size L. He's like, all right, when can you start? I'm like, oh,
cool. Whenever.
All right, here we go.
So what years are we talking here? How old were you at this point?
Oh, how old was I? That was 2012, so I was 25.
Sure.
Just was one of those, just didn't say no, just did everything. Yeah. Their work sort of agreement with contractor. So, you know, name your hours, name your time, how much you work. So I sort of, to anyone that knew Bergie, he loved being a physio and he worked really hard. He had a young family at the time, so him and Mel split a job shared essentially. Mm-hmm. But he'd work, you know, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. on his clinical days, so that was big. And, you know, when you're a young physio, you're just in awe of how much he knew and you just wanted to be like him. So I started doing, you know, 7 to 7 and 3 or 4 days a week. And then I'd work weekends. I worked with Eastlake at the time when they were in the NEFL. So there was a bit of travel involved there. So my weekends were spent on the road. Got to about 2 or 3 years after that down the track. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, really keen on learning a bit more. Dave and Will, who's now my business partner, had done a master's of musc physio at the University of Western Australia. and really rated that course. Unfortunately, UWA, I think they had some funding issues, so they killed that course, which is unfortunate. But then I started in, you're testing me now, 2015, a master's in Musk. Finished that at the end of 16. And, you know, once I finished that, it was sort of, okay, what are the next steps in my career? What do I want to do sort of, you know, potentially on that buying in track with Bergie? And we had some discussions about that. But in the end, Will and I ended up opening Accelerate. Best decision that we made. It's been an incredibly enriching experience. But we just want to do things a little bit differently and have a bit more of a balance. And so we've put a few things in place, and hopefully people that have worked with us over the years have come to enjoy being working with us. And, you know, Jen, my other business partner, she does an awesome job at working our culture and puts a lot of work into make sure that it's a nice place to come to work and inviting. But same token that we're also meeting the goals of our colleagues and our team, making sure that they're getting as much out of their careers and feeling enriched, because we know there's huge burnout rate in physio and a lot of people stop. So that's something that hopefully we're trying to stem with, you know, making it an inclusive workplace, somewhere that, you know, you look forward to coming to work, but also, you know, we put a lot of things in place, like, you know, full-time employee gets an hour of admin time a day, works 4 days.
4 day work week.
Yeah. Works, you know, 32 hours patient facing as a maximum. So, you know, these are all things we've put in place to just sort of make it, you know, more viable long-term career for people and they're not burning out. I mean, it hasn't been from a business perspective, you know, we can run a little bit differently and run a bit leaner, but I think that will lead to a little bit more burnout. And we certainly don't want that. We want it to be a fun place to come that people get career satisfaction and enjoyment, so they remain in the industry for a long time, because we're passionate about physio. And I think with our aging population and the burden of musculoskeletal disease, we can definitely, you know, there's a place for us, and I think we really add value to the health system, and hopefully people start seeing that, and particularly the government, because I think they're traditionally very poor at acknowledging how effective we are at helping reduce burden of disease. So that's Accelerate.
Just a side hit, I like it. It's kind of, you just struck my brain, you know how at the moment it's almost impossible to see like a private psychologist, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if the tides had flipped there and it was took you 3 to 6 months before you could see a physio. Imagine the difference in terms of the way that the population would perceive it and the way that the government would perceive it, you know, like, do you think it's something that there's like too many physios and then that's led to the point where it gets, oh, there's just, it's easy to get one. It's not as a high value service, or is it a different sort of thing there?
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, we're still on the workforce shortage list. I think we're in the teens,
right?
We're psychs in the top five. I think it's teachers, social workers, psychologists, something like that, maybe. Definitely top 10, but they also have a very stringent training program, you know, that they have to go through with their clinical masters and then provisional psychology and lots of supervision and mentoring.
And it's a it's easy to get into the psych undergrad. It's very hard to get into honors, and then it's harder again to get a master. So it's a real bottleneck.
Yeah.
Sort of aspect with psychology.
You know, they only run, I think it's 6 to 10 students per cohort.
Oh,
so it's, because it's really intensive, and you know, that makes it expensive. From an educational standpoint to fund, but we definitely need more psychs. I'm biased, my wife's a psych.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And clin psych, but we definitely need more psychs, but I think we also definitely need more physios, but I think just we have a high concentration of physios in metropolitan areas. And if you go out rural and regionally, we just don't have enough.
Yep.
And I think the government has recognized that. They're definitely way more physio courses now than they were back in the early 2000s. I think we went from like 8 to maybe 23 now. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot more. Almost every year we hear about a course, a new physio course being stood up at a university. I think RMIT is the latest mm-hmm. with a physio course.
Yep.
Yeah, we're punching out grads.
Yep.
But the problem is we're not retaining anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, we got this big drop off after year five. So, yep. You know, if you think about, you know, it's taking them 4 years to study
mm-hmm.
and then they're staying for 4 years plus one
mm-hmm.
and then half of them leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't blame them. We're not valued in the system. So sure. It's hard to then get that buy-in.
Yep.
And remuneration is poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, being in Canberra, we have, you know, an APS 5 and or even an APS 4 probably with mm-hmm. no tertiary qualifications, sure. Let alone one it's hard to get into as physio. Yep. You know, you need 90 something plus
to get in
ATAR just to get in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
I think that's a big barrier for us for remuneration mm-hmm. and, you know, owning a business, we try and squeeze as much out of it, but mm. you know, it's really important to try and balance those books as well. So it's tricky. I don't have a good answer.
Well, I think it's also the idea of the realization of sales, face-to-face sales in a sense as well, right? Like you're as a clinician or as a physio, you're limited to how much you can make based on how many people you see into some regard. And that's how any business would work. And so I feel like the businesses are just very then susceptible and sensitive to any changes, you know, or any sort of flow-on effects. But I remember I had a friend who was doing it and he went and worked for Stryker as a physio because he was like, look, how do I make more money? And I've got my mortgage is high and I've got this and I've got a baby and this and that. And at the moment I've got enough, but it's not enough to then maybe have enough to have a two or three and then move somewhere. There's this kind of idea about the face-to-face, but I'm curious to know what it kind of looked like when you started Accelerate back then. What was it like in terms of finding a place to set up when you found Garen? Was it tricky to find a place? Was it expensive? Did you have to sacrifice a bit, or was it a bit easy? Because at the moment, when I've looked at that, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like it can be a bit staggering.
Yeah, you know, I think I'll just take that first bit of the mm-hmm. conversation that you mentioned, and I think it's really important. Because ultimately, all we're selling is time and expertise, right? And I think as a young physio or even a physio student, it's really important to know physio business.
Mm.
And we've seen this with the NDIS, with that cut from 193 to 183. Everybody, the public perception is that we're taking home $183.99 an hour, and we're price gougers, and we're ripping everybody off. And but on the flip side, as a business owner, we pay. Super's gone up.
Mm.
Insurance has like tripled in the last 5 years for business insurance, but also indemnity insurance to get insured now is, you know, upwards of $30,000 for our practice. Yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Wow, a year. Geez. And then, you know, you're looking at rent. Rent's gone up. Everything's gone up. Cost has just gone up.
Yep.
And you know, we're finding innovative ways to sort of try and shift costs around, cut costs so we can still look after our staff, but it's not easy. And you know, when somebody comes to us saying, I need to be paid more, but they're the lowest billing physio in the practice, we're like, mate, you've got to show us a little bit more. And I think there's just a lack of awareness on you know, money needs to come in to then go out. And you know, we invest a lot in our team. You know, we've recently spent a bit of money on upgrading some of our equipment, you know, getting strength by numbers or AXIT systems. Yep. That's not a small investment.
No.
Very
cool.
Yeah, cool. It's
patients love it.
Patients love it. Physios love it.
Best practice.
We seem to be, you know, up there with the tech, but that's not free.
No.
And I think people struggle with that. They just assume that, oh, you've got heaps of money because you're billing at this rate. Therefore, that's the money that you're taking home. I'm like, no, there's stuff involved in running a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a nice practice. It's very well set up. We've got large spaces, big rooms, closed off rooms.
Mm-hmm.
All that comes at a cost. It's not,
yep.
you know, it's not cheap. So I think it's understanding business as well.
Yeah.
That, yeah, it's nice to work, but there's, you know, there's a very delicate dance that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
To make it seem seamless. You know, again, Jen and the admin team do an amazing job mm-hmm. at making that look like everything's, you know, smooth sailing and mm-hmm. going well. And that's a testament to the work that they do. Mm-hmm. But it is a delicate, delicate dance. And I think the more we learn how to appreciate that, the more appreciation we'll have of, you know, we can't just randomly throw money around and it comes with a cost.
Yeah. The question I have now is, when you're going through your first phase, you're grinding out, you hired some staff, it's looking cool.
Yeah.
When you get to start looking at opening your second shop,
yeah.
I'm really curious to know where you saw the gap and at what particular time. When we we're thinking about it for a while, it's starting to look good. And is there any particular metrics you based the decision off? Was it purely a gut feel, and how much risk were you looking at when you went, you know, because I feel like it is a most clinics business goals expansion. Yeah. All business likes to expand, but in the sense of like, and I said that quite naively, but yeah. the sense of like, yeah, multiple clinics makes a lot of sense for most small businesses. So I'm curious.
I mean, a couple of things happened there. People were driving from a long way away to come and see us in Garran, and they were like, oh, you know, geez, a Northside clinic would be good. And, you know, that maybe planted the seed a little bit, but we sort of had people hanging off the rafters, really. We've got 5 rooms in Garran, and they were pumping and busy and you know, we're pushing along at near capacity, 90+%. We're going, you know, we're on the precipice here. Are we going to do this? And we took the plunge sort of late 2020, which in hindsight was wild because we're in the midst of COVID here, but you know, we were relatively undisturbed here in Canberra in our little bubble. And I remember I was away on a family holiday in the Gold Coast, and we had a all staff meeting and a phoned in via Zoom, and it would have been Easter 21. We sort of announced to the team that we were expanding. We'd found this spot, man. We'd driven around a lot in North Canberra, looking at Lynham, Dixon, O'Connor, West Belconnen, some in Gungahlin, but couldn't quite find anything that worked. And then there were these units at Jammo's shops that used to be the old Jamison Tavern, and we're like, wow.
Yeah, Jammo Inn.
Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah. And so, yep. Had a conversation with the developer there, and it all worked out, signed the contract. And then I think 3 weeks later, boom, lockdown. And so we had a very interrupted from April 21. I think we opened in October. So it took quite a while. And again, you know,
did you get some relief there in terms of your repayments and stuff in terms of,
no.
So
that sucked. We were paying, you know, rent and all the outgoings, and had this, I think work stopped for 8 weeks on the fit out.
Yeah. Cause the if you were if you're bare bones, then the contractors aren't coming and there's no materials to do anything anyway.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we still did Bunnings Kitchen, Bunnings desks. Mm-hmm. Jen's mum did the splashback in the kitchen. Shout out.
Nice.
Les.
Splashbacks are hard.
Splashback, she did the grouting. You know, it looks good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was still a very, you know, family affair. You know, my brother-in-law built the gym rack. And then realized, I think at step 247 that he missed step 2. And
had to undo it all.
Had to undo it all and then come back. And the instructions weren't quite in English. And
the
amount of screws and stuff didn't quite line up. So that was a journey.
I love how you remember that. I imagine that was a sight.
You know, it said, you know, this, you know, 65 bolt. And they were meant to be 24, but they're only 18. And yeah, so all those things, you know, a few late nights. Jen pulled some all-nighters there to get, because we were still treating at Garran, right? Sure. So trying to get this thing going was tricky. But yeah, again, you know, it's got a great practice and a great team that we're thankful for now. So it's, yeah, It's been good. Don't ask us about a third practice. So I think if I had hair, I'd be gray. But, but since what we've noticed is since 2017 to 2025, there's been a massive jump in costs. Like, I think it's almost, and you might have experienced this as well, like it's just getting harder and harder. Mm-hmm. Margins are low, at an all-time low, I would say, and costs are at an all-time high. So there's a big disconnect, unless you have, you know, big private funding backing you. I think it's just, you know, a fit out itself would be upwards of 500,000, not more. So I just don't know how people are affording that these days. It's just, I feel for, you know, that next wave and Jen coming in trying to start their own. It's hard.
It's honest in the sense that, I think that you, from an outside perspective, like the business looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Everyone who works there to me is a goat. Everyone there has a great personality and is doing physio for, like, I guess in, I just relate to why they're doing it in my opinion of the right reasons. And even when you have this really high value product, it's still quite hard. And you're, and that second location for, I guess for listeners' sake, is Belconnen's the most densely, or is the most populated area in Canberra. And it's going to keep being that. And it's the only places where there's high rise buildings. So it's not a small area. And even with your patient flows, and I look at, like, I have Accelerate on my Instagram feed daily. I see who's free and who's not. Not many people are free. And so you get to this point when I'm staring at the businesses and going, well, if you're full and you're charging a certain amount and you're still skinned, like there's something that, it doesn't make sense. There's something wrong in that in that aspect, right?
And, like, I mean, it's just cost of running business. Like, you know, when we started Super, it was 9%. It's 12% now. In, like I mentioned before, insurance has gone up. You know,
have you found a point with
equipment costs money? Computers, plant, phones. I think we pay $900 a month in just to have phones everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's something that you just, that's a given. You know, you don't think about
it. You have to have
But that costs money.
Sure.
And then you talk about your integrations. We got, you know, you got an exercise prescription software. You got, we're integrated to death almost. You know, you got an accounting software. You got a scheduling software. You got your Google ads. You got all that's hidden costs that people don't see. They just turn up, switch things on, and it's good to go. But, you know, you've got your AI scribes. That's all additional cost that's borne by the business. And it makes it a nice place to work at, and a high functioning team which prioritizes well-being and, and balance. But that comes at a cost. And I think that that's what we need to acknowledge here. And so, you know, and the big thing is, you mentioned earlier, we've got a lot of physios that, you know, you can just go somewhere else. You know, the big killer here, and I'm leading your conversation on a little bit probably, I'm the captain of this ship.
Captain away,
bro. I've taken over. But, you know, the thing that kills us is no-shows and cancellations, right? Like, it's a sunk cost and it's dead spot in our diary, and it kills our business. Our business, you know. Monday I had three people not turn up. One forgot. One was sick, didn't cancel. One was out of town. That's three diary slots in my next available appointment is the 25th of August. So we're talking 4 weeks away from now. That kills my flow. I've got 20 people on the wait list waiting to get in. And then if I charge that person my full fee because they didn't turn up, guess what they're going to do? They're just going to come back. They'll just go somewhere else. And if we charge them 50% for a cancellation within an hour, they're still not coming back. And if we charge them the $30, they're probably still not coming back because they'll just go somewhere else. It ruins our flow and it kills small business. So if any patients are watching, please cancel your appointments. Like, it really, you know, and that's just me, one practitioner. On any given day, we got between 6 and 11 practitioners working. If three people don't turn up to 11 practitioners, that's two full-time equivalent day staff diaries gone in one day. That ruins us. And that's, I guess, where the biggest, you know, if we can find efficiencies
is that spot.
In wait lists, spots and in dead diary time, and in no shows and late cancellations, and so that's where I guess I see Clinic One mm-hmm. sort of really being at the forefront of this. If you can help with that pain point, you're going to sell. Mm-hmm. Like, if it doesn't do anything else, but it does that, mate, that, because what's that? That's $5,000 in our pockets that we can then reinvest in our staff a day, a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's value in itself, right? Yeah.
And I think it is a psychological thought process. Like, from a, because I must admit, I was 20 and I was seeing a psychologist and I no-showed and they tried to charge me and I told them to piss off.
Yeah.
And now as a clinician, I'm like, someone does that and I'm like, how disrespectful. Yeah. Like, I can, it's what, it's a, it is a, on one side versus the other.
Yeah.
But I think it comes down to the choice. I think obviously having like a prepaid version of a slot is a really different way of thinking about it, because you, it changes, it's the same result. The person's still getting invoiced for it. They're still paying for the same thing, but they've acknowledged that that's their choice to pay, you know, to have that sort of thing. So I definitely appreciate that as an issue. And it is something that, yeah, I don't necessarily see a perfect answer for in terms of telling patients. But do you find that, I mean, what first point, have you actually got any metrics to say that they won't come back? Have you seen when you've actually hit them with the fee and explained, like, this is here for a reason, I can't now fill it, is, have you actually run any sort of tests? Or is it, because I understand when I worked in clinics, the management staff were terrified. But I, as a clinician, even on a commission, I was like, if they don't want to come back, bugger it, because they've already cancelled three times anyway. The risk for me was less. But as a business owner, I can see it a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah, it's incredibly sensitive. We used to send letters and they weren't too well accepted. I think the public just don't value it. They just say, okay, we're just going to cancel and come back. They don't see that what effect that then has on the business.
Mm-hmm.
They just think, you know, kind of like this NDIS thing that I mentioned before, we're just raking it in at $200 an hour.
Yep.
But they don't see the other costs associated with being in business. And I guess maybe Canberra's a little bit more prone to that, because we have a very stable workforce with very stable wages that don't have to particularly work hard to then just, not that they don't work hard. Yes, they work hard, but you know, they know that they're going to get paid. It's guaranteed stable wage and income.
For sure.
And our staff has have stable wage and income.
Yeah. Take the risk.
I bear that risk. And I guess with Canberra being a small area, everyone knows everyone. You know, it's a one degree of separation mostly. You piss one person off, they're going to tell 10 people not to come.
Mm-hmm.
And word of mouth by far is our biggest referrer.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start poisoning that well, it's going to dry up pretty quick, especially when we're scaling. Like, to fill 11 diaries a day is not easy.
Mm.
If it's one and it's just me, I can fill that diary no problem. I can open my books from 6 to 10, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. and I'll probably be full. Mm-hmm. But it's not about me. It's about the others. Sure. It's about the team. Yeah. That's what we want to try and push. And, you know, we want, you know, our Nicks and our Dans and our Nathans to be the names that when the phone rings, that's who they're asking for. You know, I want to see Rachel. I want to see Brianna.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the phone. That's a calling sign to me of success, right?
Absolutely.
That when the phone rings and I'm not the first person, or Will's not the first person they ask for, that's a sign to me of success, that we'll build a good, sustainable business with good business practices. We've empowered our physios to be good clinicians, good people that, you know, the public want to come and see. I think that's the sign of success.
For sure.
Stuff the matrix or numbers or anything like that. I think, you know, when our early career physios are full and they feel like they have a rich career, that's the win to me. So, I'm not very much a numbers person, and all the business coaches watching this will probably have a bit of a stroke, but yeah, I keep an eye on you know, capacity a little bit. But at the end of the day, if we can pay wages every fortnight and have a little bit to reinvest in our team, that's cool. Success.
Yeah, nice to me. So it is a quality over quantity at this point.
Yeah, we're not a pill mill or a, you know, meat processing factory. We're focused on getting people.
Yeah.
and genuinely focus on getting people good outcomes, that's a sign of
absolutely
good business.
Yeah. So there is positives in all that, in the nature of business at the moment. There's some great positives. Just quickly, where do you think it's going to go in the next 5 years? Do you think it's going to be a rebound?
I mean, we have an aging population. Mm. I think...
Because this would be the light. This would be the light for those new business owners who are going, well, you know, personally for me, 5 years out, looking at starting a business, looking at starting a clinic, and I go, well, where do the experts think it's going to go? Is it something that if I have a rough 2 years, it's expensive to start now? Is there going to be where do you think it's going to change?
And I guess this is where my other hat with my advocacy stuff mm-hmm. layers. We've got to prove our value. And, mm-hmm. you know, the APA have done some really good economic reports that, you know, with falls, we can save every dollar spent, we can, you know, save 1.8 mm-hmm. times. With chronic neck and back, I think back was 6.7 times. Mm-hmm. Hip and knee OA, that was 1.8 times. I think with the neck was 3 or 4.7 or mm-hmm. something like that. It's from the NAS report available mm-hmm. on the APA's website. So we've proven that we have economic value to the system, mm-hmm. right? And it just takes, I guess, we're getting political here. Second Labor government,
mm-hmm.
Labor don't tend to fund allied health. They mm-hmm. fund medical and nursing. But, you know, I'm hoping that they see that, you know, we can add a bit of value to this system and actually save money, not cost more mm-hmm. money. But also with the aging population, there's going to be a need for us. So mm-hmm. I think for those starting out, there'll be enough work
sure.
for us. And yeah. I think we have a very reactive health system as mm-hmm. well. And so just the way it works, we're going to be needed. But then same token, I think we really undertreat mm-hmm. and we chronically undertreat our patients. Mm-hmm.
Does it come from the same?
Yeah, it's that selling.
It's the sale.
Yeah, we're bad at selling. Physios aren't business people, right? Mm. They want to help people.
Yep.
But yeah, they don't understand that there's a financial backing to that. But mm-hmm. also I think we undertreat and then that prolongs the journey mm-hmm. as well.
Do you think that the undertreating is also a capacity thing? It's like I've got... Imagine if you had an hour and a half with every patient.
Yeah.
And I can rebuild their lifestyle.
Yeah.
In every single appointment. I can go through everything, show me every single thing. Is it the way that the businesses are the general trend of face-to-face sales in this space?
I think it starts with how we're teaching our physios at a uni level, and I totally get it. Teaching hands-on MUSC stuff.
Mm.
You know, hands-on techniques and things is expensive. You need lots of teachers and you need a low ratio of teachers to students. Mm-hmm. And that costs money. And when health degrees are already expensive because we can't have too many people, like you can't have a business, like, you know, a business subject can have 1,500 people just watch a lecture online, do your tutorials, do your exam at the end.
Yep.
These are, you know, 1 to 10, 1 to 15 ratios sort of in mm-hmm. classes with tutes, it costs money. So it's expensive to run. And the first things when you're doing, going through cost cutting is probably the MUSC tutorials because they cost more. And so I think we grads are coming out not very equipped and, you know, we got to learn a lot about everything. You know, 65%, I think, of our grads go into private practice, but only 25% of our degree is catered to private practice with how the way accreditation works, which is that's how it works. You know, you need to do your cardio, your neuro, your ortho, and your MASC, and that's sort of how courses are structured at a tertiary level. But then 65% of people have been working in a very small percentage, and they're potentially not very graduate ready. And I guess graduate readiness is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we're wearing the cost as a business for your initial grads not probably having enough clinical reasoning or manual hands-on skills to then guide that.
Mm-hmm. It's also hard to sell something when you're not confident in it.
100%.
If I feel like I'm shitting the bed and I've done something wrong, or my head's like, what if it's this, what if it's that?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I need to see you in 3 or 4 days. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, you can't walk properly. It's not that. It's like, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So, see me when you're ready. You know, yeah. It's a, there's so much space there. It's very hard to, when you don't know what you are doing to yeah. go, yeah, this is the gold standard treatment. I'm like, I don't even know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. And you know, that's like clinical reasoning and treatment planning that's so important. And I think they really lack in that foundation.
Yeah.
My one bugbear, and if I ever hear any of our team say this, I always have a word with them, is see how you go. If I ever hear them say, see how you go, that's like my one tick that then I turn into like the angry boss. Because they're there asking for your opinion.
For sure.
They don't want to see how they go.
Yep.
They want to know how they're going to go. And if you don't lay it out and work with them with their goals, what they want to get to see you, you're not doing a good job. Mm. You're making about you and your lack of confidence in your skill and not about the patient, right? It's all about the patient.
Mm.
And if I'm saying, see how you go, and we know you haven't attained your goals and they're not back to doing that thing that they love, we haven't done a good job.
Yep.
And those are the people that aren't going to come back. They're like, oh yeah, I did my physio because it's something that is done to people.
Didn't quite work for me,
And I'm like, oh, physio is not something that you do. Physio is a skilled clinician that you go and see to get that gets you back to the things that you've lost in your life that you want to get back, right? And so, I did my physio and it didn't work, so I just never went back. And I'm like,
it also creates a poor value of physiotherapy as a profession. Like, and I get that too, because I see people as well from, you know, different physical, I guess, cultures, and they go, yeah, I saw a physio and this and didn't work.
Yeah.
And then, so they're like, I'm like, did you go see another physio? And they're like, nah, well, I just didn't know if physio was the right thing then. And you're like, oh, that hurt. That physically hurt me to hear. And then I'm like, you know, I'll do half price for like your first month because I need, I'll grab you and I'll fix it because I feel like an obligation back to the actual profession as a whole. So
yeah, it's hard, isn't it? We just want to go.
Probably not what I should be telling an advocate because I just feel the fire a bit there. But.
I mean, we never fix anyone.
Yeah.
We're leading them on a journey to fix themselves, but I guess we've got to empower them along that journey.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
And also accountability too. It's like, did you? Is it important for you? Are you choosing not to achieve that goal? Is it your choice or is it just something that's happening to you? Because that's a big mental shift.
Yeah, that's what makes private practice physio so hard, right? There are all these metrics that, you know, I can design you the best rehab program for whatever musculoskeletal condition that you have. But if you're not self-motivated to then go and do it,
what's the point?
You're never going to get better. And I guess, but that's part of the skill of being a good clinician. Is motivating people enough to then get that small, those runs on the board and getting those wins. So then ultimately getting their big goals. So, you know, the SMART goals and making them, you know, measurable and attainable, but giving them small chunks along the way. So they tick some runs off and they see value and they go, okay, yes, I am getting better. And, you know, it's that treatment planning is, we want to get you to run a marathon, but right now you can't even walk down a flight of stairs. Let's get you doing some of that first. And between this appointment and the next appointment, I want you to do a couple of little things and get some win. And then they come back and like, oh my God, I could do that. And then you start to build rapport and you build. So there are ways at doing that. But I think, as a young clinician that isn't necessarily confident in selling, but also in their clinical reasoning and their skills, that's where we're lacking. So there's some really good courses that you can do in that, but it's also just having a bit of up and go and backing yourself. Yeah. Like, you know, we can talk about Gen Z if you like, but they're quite a challenging group to work with because, you know, their culture is more about life, right? What I do outside of work is not what defines me. It's my being outside of work, and I guess the priority is not their workplace, it's their what they do outside of that. But and because of that, you know, we'll see a lot of practices with the differing work hours. But you know, the best thing that I did was work at the footy on the weekend. Man, I learned heaps. And now everybody wants to get paid to work at the footy on the weekend. I think I still don't get paid to work the footy on the weekends, but we make sure our staff are paid. And team, everybody that, you know, the whole team is remunerated for their time because that's important and valued. but wow, I learned heaps. Mm. And now we can barely get anyone to do weekend work, because, you know, I think, which is fair enough, but God, I learned lots. And, you know, doing nights, doing early mornings, you see that cohort that doesn't necessarily come within business hours, and they have some weird and wonderful things as well, and comes with different challenges. I think it's good in Canberra with the public service, we, you know, with they're fairly flexible with their time off and they have toil that they can use. But, you know, in bigger cities like Sydney and Melbourne, it's not uncommon for physio practices to be open till 9, 10 p.m. And having to do lates and earlies. Yep. So we don't have that here. So, you know,
I think Canberra does.
Quite lucky.
Canberra bubble, like, it's a comfy place to live. Comforts and expectations of that comfort based around other professions is a factor. And I also think that, just quickly, my thought is that, yeah, there's a difference, I think, between like the passionate part of physio and then the work part of physio. And I remember working with people that I'm like, this is a job for you rather than like a passion. Do you know what I mean? And I think that there's a difference that maybe the passion is the person who does want to go sit at a footy field in Negs 3 and or do a Thursday night at 8 p.m. when it's raining out of Queanbeyan. Because... that is you're 100% right. Best place to learn and contact sport in general. But you just see things you won't ever see. But I think it's really cool to have touched on the different business trends that have had to go with generational trends. Like the business structure that you have developed is suited to the generational change. And that is something that I don't think a lot of clinics do. And I think that there's a lot of clinics that will probably struggle to either maintain staff levels or understand, or resentment. Like, it's not a resentment thing, because when you're young, you hate the old people. When you're old, you hate the young people. Like, it's just the way it is. But I think the way that the business functions, if you want to employ someone, you got to understand them, you know? And I think that's a really pragmatic way of looking at
it. It's about the individual, right? It has to be person-centered. We talk about person-centered care and physio, but I think for us, we're a small business, medium business now, but we know each and every one of our team member well. But also we cater for their interests, maybe to our detriment as management. But, you know, we have a conversation and where they see their career, where, how can we help support what they want, and, you know, cater, you know, PD to help with that. You know, oh, I know this good course, you know, you express interest in XYZ, you know, go and do this. I saw this really good thing online, and kind of try and feed their interests that way as well. So we just make it about the person and the team member first. That's sort of how we try and do things.
Well, it's rubbing off. Like I said, the aura of Accelerate is palpable from outside, and it's not just saying that. Like, I mean, you as a person is obviously a very role model figure in physiotherapy. You've done so many things, and you're known across the land, right? A lot of people know who you are, but it's those kind of things, even at a business level, I think it does rub off. It comes off. You can feel it as soon as you go. Because I was the first time I went to Accelerate, I went and did some stuff with Nathan. And I went to the Garen spot, which was cool because I used to live in Aranda. So I went down there. I'm like, I didn't even know where you guys were. Like, this was really cool. So going to Jamison was really interesting. But you can just feel the care factors. And I think that there's some really... important things that you've said that someone who is looking at starting is probably going to grab onto. Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. That was fantastic. I think there's some really cool points there. And all the best with all your advocacy with the NDIA and your PhD as well, and anything else that you're doing, which I'm sure that there's something else in that mix. But
thanks for having me, and good luck for Clinic One. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference. And
you're gonna go?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome.
Adelaide, shout out.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to seeing what the PMS looks like, and then and coming on board once it's ready.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Matt.
Do you run a physio clinic? If you do, then you'll know the pain of administrative overheads. Clinic One is a brand new clinic management software that will turn overhead burdens into profits. The AI software is designed by a physio, so they know what key features are needed to help clinics not just survive, but to thrive. Use the interactive calculator at clinicone.ai to see how many thousands your clinic will save you per month. Sign up early for exclusive launch deals that will help kickstart your clinic expansion goals. Head over to clinicone.ai.